Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, December the 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 73, the second paragraph. The inconsistency is made worse, and we'll be reading that one paragraph and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Lorraine N., the 12 Traditions, Karen B., readers of the text are Pam M., Leah S., and Leslie W., and the share ID for Tuesday, December the 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,748, that's 13748. And for this morning's meeting, Wednesday, December the 4th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,751, 13751. Our newcomer greeter is Nan K., and our announcement coordinator is Leslie W. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone on the line. Lorraine N. in Oregon. Actually, I'm in San Diego right now, enjoying the rain and missing the blizzard from Oregon. So here we go. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. And the 12 traditions, I will now ask Karen B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen B. in Camas, Utah. 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, NOA group, ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to serve, and I look forward to the meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Karen B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's the star 1 button and not the mute button on your phone. Thank you for that. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 73, second paragraph down, the inconsistency is made worse, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Pam M. to get us started. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. from the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York. So, the inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. So the inconsistency we are speaking of here is this double life discussed in the former paragraph. And for me, that meant drinking smoothies, raw, fresh pressed juices, and eating salads in front of everyone. Then, when I was by myself, I was having a party in my mouth, eating so much my system would shut down and I had to be rushed to the hospital with pancreatitis. And it wasn't just the food that I was being dual about. At my yoga studio, I was an angel slightly hovering above the earth in front of all of my students. And then with my family, I had a vicious and violent, mean tongue causing turmoil all around me. I felt like a fraud, and that made me want to eat more. So coming to my senses when I got off the food, I was embarrassed and revolted to recognize the truth of my behavior. I was always afraid someone might find me out. I even made sure my yoga studio wasn't in the same town I lived in, so I could keep living the lie. And the things that I did weren't the only memories that I pushed down. I also pushed down multiple traumatic episodes that had happened to me as a child. And as my mind and my body became more clear and clean, these suppressed memories of sex crimes started to surface. But I was sober now. The pain that I was hoping to stuff down the rest of my life was now being brought out into the light of day. My relationship with my higher power, the love of my fellows, and the good therapist helped me to be relieved of the fear and tension I had been carrying with me all these years. Working steps 1 through 5 helped me to lay all the aspects of myself out on the table. I could fully see who I was without pretending anymore. And that was the beginning of the humbling of my false ego. What a relief and a sense of freedom. I could finally be myself and be okay about it. Namaste. I pass.
Well, thank you very much for getting us started, Pam M. I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 73, the second paragraph down. The inconsistency is made worse. And I will now take names of those who'd like to share.
Irene B. Roz G.
Shelley C.R.
Irene B. I got you, Irene.
Thank you.
Kathleen O.
Sarita.
Cindy B.
Who was that after Kathleen?
Sarita.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarita.
Thanks.
I got Irene B., Roz G., Shelley C., something or other. Ah, I wrote too fast. Anyway, you'll give it to me. Kathleen O., Sarita L., I can take one more.
Cindy.
Got you, Cindy. All right, that's our lineup for today, for this first. Irene B., Roz G., Shelley C. R., I think it is, didn't finish my R., Kathleen O., Sarita L., and Cindy D. All right, Irene B., you're first. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mel. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The inconsistency, wearing masks, being one thing privately and another thing publicly. You would never know by looking at me when I was bulimic the unbelievable amount of food that I binged and purged because I was normal size. And when I started bulimia, I think it was mixed with anorexia. And through college, I weighed 104 pounds and I was 5'4 at the time. It's like, wow. I mean, I didn't realize how thin that was because I wanted to reduce certain body parts and they just wouldn't go down. Well, that's just on the weight side. That's just a superficial part of it. And what's far more important for me is, oh, my gosh, all my problems, my sense of worthlessness, my dire need for external validation, my feeling that nobody cares about me, nobody's looking out for me, so I better take for myself because otherwise nobody cares. And a sense of just wanting everything, wanting more and more and more, entitlement, a sense of entitlement. That's the word that wouldn't come, entitlement. And judging. I judge myself very harshly. I gave grace to everybody else, but I judge myself very, very harshly. And I love what it says in here. It says that, let's see, where is it? That you're afraid that somebody might have seen them, that somebody might notice that how imperfect and how bad I am. And that makes for more drinking. Yeah, that makes for more eating. And we try to push it down so that we don't remember, and that's what I did. And boy, that really, really messed me up because in order to get better, I have to know what it is I need to recover from. I have to know what problem it is that I'm tackling. I didn't even know what problem it was that I was tackling. But the food and all my defense mechanisms, daydreaming food, suppressing my thoughts as deep as I could because I didn't want to think about it, that I completely really forgot about them. Oh, my goodness. Okay, abstinence. Abstinence is a tool that will get us free from our denial and our blindness. Mm-hmm. Got to have abstinence to work the program. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Irene B. Roz G., followed by Shelley C.R. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, everybody. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in very rainy Palmdale. In my car, you may hear the rain beating on it. Well, you know, I can talk about what happens to this very day. I'm on another fifth step, and my sponsor and I are kind of going over each resentment right now. And I'm in column three, and I'm discovering that I still have a need to be accepted, to be validated, to be liked. And so I put on a front. Actually, you know, so much today. It's not so much a front today because it's real. And, you know, some of the, you know, I'd have to say my education level. I did work for my education level. But to be honest with you, I don't really want to do what it takes to have notoriety in it. I'm tired. And at this point in my life, I want to just get off work and hang out with my dog. I like to take my dogs for a walk after work. But what I'm trying to say here is that I have this deep-seated need for you to be on top, to be the most educated, to have the highest degree, and for you to call me Bayek. And, you know, it is a two-faced Roz, because the truth is the Roz that I really am is the one that wants to come home and play with her doggies, or do some other activities like hockey.
Roz, we lost you.
I'm sorry. I passed by an area that the phone just muted. So
okay.
I don't know where thank you. I don't know where my time is at, but just that I'm
got another minute.
Oh, thank you, Mo. I'm asking God, my higher power, to remove this need for acceptance, because it's BS. God accepts me. My family accepts me. My friends accept me. It's me that doesn't accept me. So I have to put on that front so that I can, you know, it's crazy. I don't get it. People aren't thinking about me. People have other things to think about. I like have this deep-seated, you know, thinking that, oh, they're thinking I'm this and I'm that. No, they're really not, Roz, because to be honest with you, I'm not thinking about you. Anyway, it's a great discovery. It's embarrassing. It's, you know, kind of humiliating to admit. But you know what? The awareness has come, and now I can ask God to remove this need to be accepted, knowing that I already am.
Fine.
And I don't have to be safe. And thank you, Mo. Have a great day, everybody.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Roz G. Shelley C.R., followed by Kathleen O. Shelley, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Shelley C.R., recovering compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. I'm very grateful to be here another day. I've been able, because of all these snow days that we've had, I've been able to be here more consistently, and so that has just been a blessing. And this paragraph just resonates with me so well, that whole part of an inconsistency in what I'm putting out to the world and then how I'm living internally. I remember I would eat, you know, a certain way in front of people and then have my binges at night when no one was around. And I had a friend who lives out of town, and so I would stay with her. I would go visit her sometimes. And I would, like, never eat breakfast, and she was always really confused about that. And since me joining OA and working my steps and working my program and finding abstinence and being able to talk with her honestly about like what that was about. And instead of hiding the things that I was doing, really finding a space within the groups, but then outside of the groups as well with people that are close to me about what was really going on. And so instead of living in that fear and tension, as it mentions, that just kept me in the cycle of overeating and shame and self-hatred, I was able and have been able to talk with people openly and honestly about how I'm feeling, about how I was feeling then, about where things are at now, and being able to just really strengthen relationships and let go of that fear and tension. And when it comes to other people's perceptions of me or whatnot, I just need to be right with my higher power. And so right now I'm working another fourth step. And I remember when I did my fourth step previously and then my fifth step, just being able to release all of that to my higher power and to another human being, to my sponsor, was just such a sense of relief. I didn't have to worry about those things of, as it mentions here, he trembles to think someone might have observed him, you know, that thinking that, oh my gosh, if people only knew. And now I don't have to live in that space any longer. And so being able to work this program has just given me, has opened the door to some peace and serenity and little bits of sanity here and there. And that continues to grow one day at a time as I remain abstinent and as I continue working my program and strengthening my spiritual relationship with my higher power. I'm just so grateful to be here, so grateful for this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Shelley C.R. Kathleen O., followed by Sarit L. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. Oh. This is Kathleen O. in California. And I tell you, to be excited to be on this meeting every morning with all of you, rather than be excited to be planning a spree, it is nothing short of a miracle. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. And in my case, it was the binges. And yes, I was disgusted with myself after each binge, especially at the end of the day when I went to bed. I would swear I wasn't going to do it again. And by 9 or 10 the next day, I'd be off and running again. And unlike alcoholics who vaguely remember a spree, I never forgot a binge. Throwing in a few vegetables in the shopping cart and junk food of every type I was purchasing at the grocery store, thinking that would make the checker think I didn't have a problem and was a normal eater, like they even cared, and then going home and binging in front of the TV on all that junk food, and that the vegetables made it to the garbage. Buying a dozen bagels or donuts for the office, but they never made it to the office. Halloween candy that never made it to the trick-or-treaters. Baking dozens of Christmas cookies by the dozens when most of them were eaten by me, and some before they even hit the oven. So those memories are nightmares, and they're nightmares that I live daily. So making a personal inventory and taking the action to admit my perfect imperfections, telling the truth, ridding myself of egoism, and getting a big dose of humility, it's ultimately what set me free. I found a step five. I was not unique, and that was a really good thing to find out. So the goal is to have a spiritual experience. You know, step five began to remove the hundreds of pounds I carried between my ears. And I don't know how, but now I look at holiday goodies and the thought of eating them is what disgusts me. You know, talk about a 180. You couldn't pay me to eat that junk. So when I came in, I thought food was my problem, but it was my thinking that was my problem. And when I fixed my thinking, the food problem was solved. So freedom from food was truly the only thing I wanted going into this, but I got so much more than that. So stick with it because it does work. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Sarit L., followed by Cindy D. Good morning, Sarit.
Hello, Mo. Good morning. It is Sarit L. from Montreal. Grateful, recovered. I laugh because when I heard people say grateful, recovered,
really, really, it was just so overused, and I didn't care for that. I just didn't care to be a compulsive overeater, and yet this is my place. This is my family. I hear people announce their names. I hear people and share, and it's just, I know you. You know me. You know the deepest parts of me, and you know my inconsistencies. I've shared them with people on the lines, and the greatest thing is that today, amongst the, not just the fact that I'm aware of my inconsistencies, but I'm working on my inconsistencies. It's the inconsistencies that are coming up for me within abstinence and within recovery. That's the change. Yes, I remember those inconsistencies and the inconsistent behaviors that have come up when I'm binging, and how inconsistent I am, you know, saying one thing, buying something, like people have shared, baking something, and it just never reaches the table completely. And coming to his senses, I am resulted in certain episodes that I do remember. I do recall, and just, you know, my husband finding a bag with clothing that was supposed to be sent out to, you know, to give to a friend, and I had hidden my wrappers inside with cookies inside, and my husband, you know, just being so ashamed and embarrassed, and, you know, mentioning to me, like, these candies are not good for your teeth. So just these episodes that I remember clearly, just the inconsistent behavior. And so now what I want to share is that within recovery, I am able to notice so much of my inconsistent behaviors, like lack of communication skills that I didn't have growing up, and that now I'm so aware how inconsistent they are. I mentioned something to my daughter this morning. I was going to wrap her lunch in a bag because she cared that it won't spill. And then my husband walks in the door and they have to dash outside, and she's disappointed and resentful at me that I didn't wrap her lunch in a bag because it wasn't time. And I left her, and we both were disappointed and upset. And I realized how inconsistent of me. I did say something to her that I was going to do. And so that's why she's disappointed. I didn't keep my word. And so I see my part. I clearly see my part. And that's the beauty in these rooms, is that now I'm open. The fog is clear. The food is down. I can tell. And just such a little interaction and dialogue I had with my daughter where I was inconsistent. And so I have room to improve today, and I'm willing to do that. When she comes home, I have something to tell her. And I will, because her mommy's working on herself and in recovery, and just offering hope for all those out there who are struggling. This is way more than just putting the food down. This is really, these steps teach us how to live life. Thanks, Mo. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sarit L. And before I get to Cindy D., just reminding everybody, we're on page 73, the second paragraph. The inconsistency is made worse. After Cindy, I'll take some more names. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service today. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And this reading today was making me think about consistency in my program. And part of the reason
somebody's unmuted.
Someone's unmuted.
Please mute your phone if you're unmuted.
Anyway, you're welcome. Thank you, Mo. And I haven't been on the line and haven't spoken on the line for probably a couple weeks. And part of that was having family here over the holidays and finding it difficult to get privacy to be able to talk. And I felt so restless, I guess is a good word, you know, that irritable, restless and discontent, just because of the lack of consistency in my program. And, you know, I was thinking about it as I was hearing people share that it felt like a danger zone to me. And I can see why, because I can look back at, you know, pre-abstinence, pre-recovery, and see my old behaviors. And I could see traces of them starting to come up over the last couple of weeks. So I'm grateful that we're reading this and I'm getting this reminder, because I do have lots of nightmare memories about what it used to be like, and being worried about other people knowing what was really going on versus what I let them see. And I'm grateful that today I live a more transparent life, that, you know, I live in front of my family and my friends. And when I have things that are disturbing or I want to keep secret, I know the best thing to do is to call a fellow and share it. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that God has granted me abstinence through all this. And I think that's all I'm going to share. So I will pass it back. Thank you.
And thank you, Cindy D. So now open the lines up for more people to share.
Lisa G.
Sherry K.
Leia S.
Leia
S.
Lisa G.
E-M.
I got
Sherry
you, Lisa. KB. Ricky? Was that Ricky or Vicky?
Ricky M.
M.
Kat
okay,
K.
Gotcha. Kat K.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Dion R.
David, I got you, David. We'll stop there. Dion, if we have time, we'll get to you, okay? Okay, David. I got half names written here. Sherry. Mary KB. Okay, here's who we have. Lisa G, Leia S, Ricky M, Kat K, Sherry KB, David, I think it was M, and then Dion R, if we have time. All right, Lisa G, you're up first.
Hey, thanks, Mo. This is Lisa G, recovered in Texas, which is so weird to say.
Someone's
so
unmuted.
What...
Someone's unmuted. Just Lisa G, please.
Thanks, Mo.
Thank you.
So like many of the people, many of the fellows that have shared today, yes, yes, and yes, I could repeat pretty much all of that. You know, the eating at night, the binging, the standing over the garbage can, eating two ice cream cones that, you know, come in the little box, and then taking one in with my family, taking handfuls of chocolates, putting them in the pockets of my sweater, and then, you know, eating like a bunch of them before I went in there, and then thinking I was sneaking them out of my pockets, eating, you know, three bowls of cereal after everybody went to bed, just all kinds of binging behavior, and I was very heavy. And, you know, to think that nobody knew what I was doing was a huge lie, I tell myself. And then I would stand in front of the mirror and tell myself how much I hated myself. You're disgusting. You make me sick. I mean, I would say these most awful things to myself. And then I would write in my journals, God, please help me. Please help me stop eating. Please help me. And I kept thinking, he's not helping me. He's not helping me. I can't stop this. And nor did I want to. I hated myself because I was fat. I hated myself because I had no integrity. Because every time I said, I'm not going to do this again tomorrow, I'm not going to do it again tomorrow. And I did it again tomorrow for years and years and years. So on top of hating myself because I was fat and hating myself because I didn't do what I said I was going to do. And then I got into a 12-step program for food addiction. And it wasn't OA, it was another one, but, you know, all of a sudden, I was doing what I said I would do. But here's the deal, like, still there was no real God in that program. So I've been in Vision for a year, and I'm telling you, God is doing for me what I could not do for myself, and it's not about the weight. Like, right now, I have 20 pounds to lose. I don't know if I'm going to lose it or not, and I love myself. And it's all because of this program, this Vision for You. It's incredible. And, I mean, I still have a long way to go in terms of, you know, just find God showing me, God showing me. But I'll tell you, God took away a couple of things during my 12-step journey that I could not have taken away, and it had nothing to do with food. So I'm just telling you, like, if you think it's about the food, it is, but it's not. And it's hard to explain. Thank you, Mo. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa G. Leia S., followed by Ricky M. Good morning, Leia.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so very much. Here's the sentence.
He's under constant fear and tension. What is it that we are in? We are trying to find someone that we can trust so that we don't have fear. We're trying to get someone to give our fifth step over, and we have tension. Why do we have tension? Because there are manifestations of characteristics that are within us. And to for me to go into the unknown, and especially to face someone face to face, or even talk to someone, is something that brings me into humility. It brings me into thinking, you know, I'm going to be judged. It also makes me it makes me insecure. It brings me back into the fear that I don't know. I'm going into the unknown. And yet, when we overcome that, it becomes like a spiritual kind of situation. And you have gone through, Leia, the worst of the worst. You just faced all of your character defects in step four. And so, you know what? Something had been pushing you, and you were able to do it. So then you're going to be able to do this step five as well. And God will be with you, and you will not feel that fear. You will feel secure. You will not feel that tension. You will feel at ease. You are human, and that's what we all are. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. Ricky M., followed by Kat K. Good morning, Ricky.
Hi, this is Ricky M. Thanks for letting me share. Wow, this is really a powerful paragraph. My addiction has been always two-faced. Like, in public, I wouldn't start eating because I was afraid I couldn't stop. So it was always getting married was the best gift I ever had, because now I have my own home. I can bring whatever I want in the house. And, you know, thank God I was pregnant and I had an excuse to eat. And it didn't occur to me to not eat certain foods, or, you know, I knew as a kid I was addicted to certain carbs. And in school, it was always this shame of being the last one to leave the lunch table or going back for doubles when I was full because I wanted more. But now that I'm married, I'm in my own space, my own privacy, no one's going to tell me no. This is, you know, I have to feed myself and my child. And of course, you gain 60 pounds, and it's all out there in public, but then you live with it. And it's a constant battle of up and down, up and down. And it came ahead last year. I was working in a with a coworker at a preschool, so it's really side-by-side babysitting. There's nobody there but you and this other adult. And I would just eat Cheerios as I go because it was so stressful. And, you know, she would comment on what I was eating. If I brought diet soda, she would comment, to the point that I just went on a diet, went on a food plan just so we could have something safe to talk about. But then I came home so stressed out, and I binge straight, sat on the couch, and the kids would come home for dinner. What's for dinner? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not hungry. I just ate, and I'm full. And till I knew I needed to come. I needed some kind of peace because life was just out of whack. I mean, there was so many comfort foods, and if the kids would eat it, I would get upset. Like, if they would take my marshmallow and chocolate chips, that wasn't okay. That was for me. I mean, that was insanity. When I started coming to the rooms just to get abstinence, like I wasn't even thinking program. I just needed to stop. And, you know, I was just angry. I was sitting there in the room and someone offered me a subscription to the OA circular. And I'm like, I don't want to get it because then it will keep coming and I'm not going to be abstinent. And it's going to keep putting this in my face. But to be able to get abstinent and then finally now after 5 months start working a program, and it's finally getting lifted slowly. I mean, I was white knuckling. So you get the abstinence and now you don't have the craving, because I am an addict. That's an allergy. And I was just so struggling. And now to have the peace and have a program that I can go out in the world. And so the same coworker, she asked me, oh, so what's your food plan? I would love to join you. And I'm like, it's not the food plan. I mean, it doesn't matter what the food plan is. I have a program. Would you like to do what I'm doing? You could go to meetings. No, I don't need the meetings. I need your food plan. And that now to bring that publicly and say, no, there's a program. There's a higher power. There's something else. It's not me. And really, it's not me. There's so many times I could have slipped. I would have slipped if not for my higher power. I have no idea why I didn't. And to be here and start feeling, thank you, feeling this serenity and starting to one day at a time with that help. Thank you.
And thank you, Ricky M. Kat K., you're next, followed by Sherry K.B. Good morning, Kat.
Hi, Kat. I don't, may I be heard?
Yes, you are.
Okay, perfect. This is Kat K., compulsive overeater. Really grateful to be here. The topic today, being somebody in public that I'm not in private is just something I'm so familiar with. And for me, it's really just extreme fear of judgment, extreme fear of, well, if they judge me and I'm not good enough, well, then I must not be good enough. And that's what I judge my self-worth on based on what the stranger thinks. And that is just so crazy. I just wanted to talk about where I'm at today because honesty is such a big part of humility and what has worked in this program for me. And I struggled through the holiday season. The holiday season wasn't so bad. It was when everybody left and just loneliness setting in. Everybody, I had 7 people over, all left yesterday. And just that loneliness setting in and the fear of being alone and being abandoned and left alone is just being triggered and turning to things to comfort me. And I just don't want that. And I've been using the excuse that my phone plan changed and it costs money to call into this line. And I just can't use that excuse anymore because I'm so thankful you all are here, because dialing in after not dialing in and just listening to recordings for months, it's just not the same. I'm just so thankful to do my part, the action step I can, which is to participate, and not just sit on the sidelines and feel sorry for myself, because that is what the disease brings me to, and that is going to be the way that I will relapse and not come back. And I that's not where I want to be. I need to do the action steps and to be here and to participate, even though I don't feel the most spiritually fit, to just say it's just one day at a time. And just thanks for being here. Really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat K. Sherry KB, followed by David M. Good morning, Sherry. Press star 1 to unmute. Can't hear you, Sherry. All right, what we might do is go to David M. and go back to Sherry. David M., are you available?
Hi, this is David. Can you hear me, Mo?
Yes, I can. Thank you, David.
Oh, sure. Okay, so, yeah, chapter 6 in action. This is getting to the 5th step, and we're only 6. Can you, hello?
Yeah, Sherry, I got David. You're going to go next.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're only 6 of our secrets. My friend Joey says we do things around here that we don't want to do, so we get to do things that we do want to do. And the preceding paragraphs talked about, how some people take what they want and possibly leave the rest, that they leave some of this stuff out and they invariably get drunk. And so I'm reminded about this paragraph and this step. It really relates to my step 1, because ultimately I was taught there's a step 0 where I'm just hiding out. I'm hiding out. I'm in the drift, and I don't even know I have a problem. And I remembered when I picked up that phone and called my Eskimo, if you will, and had that white light experience, of telling on myself and being really just in a dark place. And I asked for some help. It was a social worker at the VA who happens to be my cousin. And he's kind of like my Abby. And that is a direct relationship for me to step five. And, you know, ultimately, the whole purpose is to get through to the fourth column of the fourth step, the character defects, to set me up for step six. But it really is reminding me, the book is kind of reminding me, oh yeah, I'm a drunk. These are my consequences. This is and this is what happens when I drink. And now I got to get down to causes, conditions. So it's reaffirming and retucking in this paragraph, and the inconsistency they talk about is just a reminder, really, of my first step. Because at that first step, I wouldn't be here. And again, telling on myself and doing that over and over and over again on a daily basis. And ultimately, I don't have, you know, I don't really have a drinking, a drug, or a eating problem. I have a living problem. I don't know how to live life on life's terms. And ultimately, this program, this book, this text, this toolbox gives me the tools of trusting a higher power, cleaning my house, the house cleaning, which we're going through, and paying it forward and helping others. So I don't know which step one can leave out. I'll wrap it up. I don't know which step or which meeting I can leave out. I just don't want to come up one short. So I'm just going to do them all one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, David M. Sherry KB, are you with us?
I am. Thanks, Mo.
Okay.
It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and Team Wednesday. I'm just going to piggyback on some things people have been saying. You know, I could go into all this talk about the binge sprees I've been on in my life. I could tell you lots of them. What I want to get to is what this reminds me of is the emotional sprees. That's what I want to look at today because, you know, there are more to happen than being face down to food and going into binge sprees for me today. Thank God I'm recovered. And so I look at that. So whenever I'm restless, irritable, or discontent, I do read these paragraphs because it reminds me that I can go on an emotional binge, especially during the holidays. And they are a nightmare for me because, you know, I want to stay recovered. I've got 11, 10, 11, and 12. And it reminds me on page 60 when it says the first requirement is that I be convinced that my life run on self-will can hardly be a success on the basis that I am almost always in collision with someone or somebody, even though my motives are good. I can't live by self-propulsion anymore. I've got to live with my higher power, and I will go on an emotional spree if I'm not careful. And it's real important because I listened to a share I remember back in 2017, and I just never forgot it. And that really opened my mind to the fact that the food binges that I went on were equal to the emotional binges that I went on because I was always covering up with all those food binges due to the emotional binge that was really going on. And without my higher power and without these steps, without going through, without, like, people have been talking about step five and also how it is scary. Yes, it is. But you know what? How free do you want to be? And for me, I know that what really helped me was reading page 124, and I highly, highly recommend reading page 124. It is so helpful because we've all been there. We've all done that. You know, our higher power can help us through anything, and that's the beauty of it. And just looking at those emotional sprees and those food sprees and all of that, they run parallel is what I've learned through the years. And I'm just grateful that I lean on my higher power now and to read this page when I am restless, irritable, discontent, or in fear, doubt, and insecurity. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. And that's all the time we have. I'm sorry, Dion R., so maybe get on tomorrow. Thank you all for your service that you have given to make today's meeting work. And so we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Leah S. to read A Vision for You.
Thank you very much. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.